You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. My name is Matt. That is Mark. We are ready to talk some Steelers football tonight, and finally something positive to talk about with this team, dude. What is happening?
Man, I'll tell you what. 3 minutes of paradise. It had to be some of the craziest stuff I think we've ever seen. Definitely watching the Black and Gold. I mean, I've seen, you know, college football have things like that before, and even high school football, but it was like you couldn't look away from the TV because you were afraid you were going to miss something else. If it wasn't a bobbled kickoff return, then a fumble, then an interception. I mean, it was just one thing after another. And, you know, that's the great news. And certainly the cherry on top is they got the victory. But, you know, with that said, there's still some concerns, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. It's just nice to actually have a podcast and talk about a win, you know, where there were a fair amount of positives in this game. You know, just how we know how this team goes, there's always going to be issues here and there. But last night, I agree. I've never seen this team, at least not that I can recall even today, score that many points in that few amount, you know, and then that amount of seconds. I think it was 3 touchdowns and 73 seconds total. 24 points within a span of 2 minutes, 56 seconds total, I believe, was the scoring frenzy that pretty much came out of nowhere. Like, the Steelers were getting owned through the entire game. You know, J.J. Watt was having his way with just about every member of the offensive line. Ben was getting rushed and killed. You know, the Texans were playing in the Steelers' backfield for most of the first half. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the defense made a sack. They ended up getting, you know, a field goal. And then things started to just really kind of snowball from there. And it was a scoring frenzy full of trick plays and, you know, rookies getting their first touchdown. Just things that I have not seen this team do. And, excuse me, in the past. And I had a friend who was there at the game last night. And he said Heinz Field just went absolutely ballistic during that barrage of scoring. He said he's never seen anything like it.
Well, yeah. I mean, with good reason. I mean, minutes before, that crowd was booing and really had every reason to do so. As you said, Houston had controlled really both lines of scrimmage. They had gashed the defense for, I think, Foster was already up to like 75 yards midway through the second quarter. You know, even Fitzpatrick was able to pick on our corners, which isn't the most difficult thing in the world, but still, he was executing. And then defensively, you know, Watt, 6 of his 7, you know, sack versus quarterback pressures were in the first half. So it was just ugly. It was going bad. It was one thing after another, and then, you know, strangely enough, just that one little turnover, and poor Sean Spence, he probably should have had a touchdown had anybody been paying attention, because he picked the ball up and ran it in at that point. But either way, we still scored. And yeah, you know, it's something, Matt, that we can't rely on every week, and certainly this team has struggled to create turnovers, and they got 3 of them. I think anytime you get 3 turnovers, you darn well better win the football game, as long as you're not turning it over 3 times. But yeah, it was great. It was great for the fans. It was a feel good moment, and thankfully they were able to win the game, because my God, that onside kick was just crazy. I stumbled over myself 3 or 4 times trying to get through that play.
Yeah, I was watching that last night, and through most of the first half, I'm thinking we're going to lose this game. We're actually going to show up in prime time. Yeah. We're going to get our butts kicked. Ben's going to get killed, and we're going to be, you know, sitting here, you know, looking up at the bottom of the division again. You know, but fortunately, you know, I just – for those 3 minutes, that was the Blitzburg of old. I mean, that was reminiscent of Bill Cowher and Greg Lloyd and Levon Kirkland, Chad Brown, and all these great players, and Joey Porter, you know, who are just, you know, getting sack after sack and turnovers, and the crowd's going nuts. I mean, that was like Heinz Field of old. And, you know, even going back to Three Rivers, where, you know, the team fed off the defense and they were, you know, making turnovers and sacks and making big stops. And, you know, it was just something that, you know, you're right. Obviously, we can't rely on that every week. I mean, that's just ridiculous to think that's going to happen all the time. But for those 3 minutes, the Pittsburgh Steelers were absolutely unstoppable. So I think I tweeted out that we should bottle up those 3 minutes and try and use it for the rest of the season, man.
You know, it was just one of those things where it really was, you know, not to dwell too much on it, but it really was amazing when you consider, you know, you had a guy just simply bobbling a kickoff return, and they get down at the five. And then Arian Foster, who has one of the best ratios in terms of carry to fumble. I mean, this guy never puts the ball on the ground, and it took a perfectly executed hit. The ball came out, and thankfully the replay showed it. You know, and not to be forgotten was the first touchdown, which was the beautiful throw to the rookie Martavis Bryant. But then you get a ball that was batted three times and ends up in the hands of Brett Kiesel, who, I got to admit, he got further than I thought he would. He did a nice job getting downfield. So just a quirky bunch of things that you probably won't ever see happen in that short a time span ever again, but it's a win. You take it. You move to 4-3. You're still looking up at Baltimore. And amazingly, I think, what are the Bengals now? 3-2-1. I mean, what an odd run they've had too. So this team is by no sense. Even if things don't go well this Sunday, they're not out of it at all in the AFC.
No, they definitely aren't. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, you know, everybody was picking the Bengals to win the division. And, you know, I mean, they still may do that. They may get on a run again. I don't know. But the AFC North, which was supposed to be one of the most competitive, is now kind of flip-flopping. And, you know, Cleveland was on a roll. They lost. Cincinnati's been on a losing streak, and they have a tie in there. Baltimore's been the hot team right now. And the Steelers are, of course, trying to claw their way back up in the division. But as far as the rookie goes, you're right. Martavis Bryant getting his first touchdown. You know, I think he either tweeted or somebody wrote today. I don't remember where I read it, but they were talking about how he said he knew he was going to have both of his feet in bounds. That was no problem, but he didn't expect to see the wall coming right at him because he went pretty much face first into the wall and just kind of fell backwards. So, you know, I guess he wasn't thinking the wall was as close as it was. And, you know, I mean, props to him for having his eye on the ball and looking back. That's fine. But hey, it was nice to see him get involved. You know, the Steelers finally got him off the bench and into the game. And, you know, he paid dividends, him and, you know, of course, Wheaton, the two young guys that are the speedsters, are supposed to be the future of this team. So it was nice to see them guys, or excuse me, those guys, especially Bryant, get involved.
You know, one thing really quick, I know you've been on the field before at Heinz Field, and I've been on there too. It is kind of shocking how close those walls are to the back of the end zone. There's now, if you go down the other end zone, I believe that's where there's a little more of an opening, if I'm not mistaken. And then, of course, you've got the tunnel where the Steelers come out. But then, of course, they usually go down right behind the bench during halftime. But be that as it may, yeah, it came up quick on him. And I don't blame him for being a little concerned. Let me ask you this. Right now, if you had to choose between Martavis Bryant after one game and Marcus Wheaton, who would you take as the future receiver there in Pittsburgh?
We haven't really seen enough of Bryan yet. I mean, I think he has the big playability. He's definitely got the speed. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He and Wheaton both have the speed. Of course, Brown is quick too. So the Steelers are not hurting for speed at wide out. And I think Wheaton, I think the light bulb is starting to come on for him a little bit, but he's still dropping some passes, and you know the routes are maybe kind of a little over his head right now. So, you know, I guess you could say the light bulb is flickering right now. It's trying to come on. You know, it kind of flashes for a second and then goes, oh crap, now I'm out again. I dropped a pass. So, right now I think it's probably a toss up, but I would like to see a lot more of Bryant. You know, like a Bryant, Wheaton, and Brown on the field. You know, just mixing some Lance Moore for good measure in there. But I like the future of this team with those three guys, especially. You know, given the fact that we lost Sanders, and of course now all we have is Brown. So I like where they're going. But right now, I'm not really sure I could pick one. I would probably lean towards maybe Wheaton a little bit just because he's had some more on the field experience, but sure. Right now it's pretty much six one half dozen the other in my book.
Yeah, you know, and it's not a real, what I would call a real fair question for me to ask, because like you said, there hasn't been a whole lot, a whole body of work to really judge Bryan on. But I think what he did last night, I mean, he absolutely took the top off of Houston. and you know, with his post route for the touchdown. And Dejon talked about it in his piece later today, the fact that one of the best plays of the night, which really kind of went unnoticed because they ended up punting anyways, the Steelers, I think, had a 3rd and 10. They were backed up to their own end zone, and Ben threw a really nice ball kind of in between two defenders to Darius Heyward Bey. And the point that Dejon was making was that that was a downfield throw to a wide receiver and not Heath Miller, which is all we usually see. And it is. It's huge. And to me, that's a result of having a guy like Bryant now who is tall, athletic, and fast. And now he's going to make that those safeties have to really pay attention to him so they can't come up all the time. And, you know, going back to Heath Miller for a second, he was pretty quiet last night. Maybe one or two catches, if I'm not mistaken. So, and whenever that happens, he almost always comes back with a big game the following week. So I'll be real curious to see what he's like next week against Indianapolis.
Yeah, Heath Miller had one. He was targeted once, and he had one catch for 13 yards. So he was rather quiet. Brown led the way with 9 catches for 90 yards, and of course Le'Veon Bell 8 catches for 88 yards and the touchdown. So that was cool.
How freaking good is Le'Veon Bell? Did you see this
coming? Kid can do everything, man. I mean, freaking everything.
I watched a lot of him, you know, in the Big Ten. I mean, I'm in Big Ten country, and you are too, for all extents and purposes now. So I saw a lot of him, and I saw a guy that was a good running back, you know, maybe even a great running back at the college level. I mean, he had a horrible line in front of him at Michigan State. They had a quarterback that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, and he still rushed for 1,500 yards. But I never saw this type of athleticism, and part of it's the drop of the 20 pounds. But man, he is just, he will absolutely wreck you if you try to take him on. And at the same time, he's got a spin move. He's got a juke move. And of course we know about the leap that he's got. I'm just totally blown away by how good he is already in his career.
Oh, this guy is an absolute. He is money. He does everything now. And, you know, now that Haley is starting to get him involved more in the passing game, I mean, this is just pretty much wide open. This kid can literally be the best all-around back in football right now, if he's not already. I mean, obviously, that's a big stretch considering names that are out there. But, I mean, he does it all. You know, he's sure-handed. He's quick. He's powerful. He's just – the kid is the total package. It's so much fun to see him run. I mean, we haven't had a ground game that was consistently good since Bettis was here. I mean, that's just the long and short of it. Once Bettis left, you know, Willie Parker, he was okay here and there. And, you know, Mendenhall, this and that. And, you know, all the other guys that we've had, you know, playing, you know, the whole running back by committee thing over the last several years. It's nice to see have a number one true running back in Bell. And then have a guy like Blount be able to come in and, you know, do some, you know, have a 1-2 punch of some extra power and whatnot. So this is for the offense right now, and the offensive line and the running game, this is the best situation that we've had in years. I mean, literally years right now. And, you know, hopefully the offensive line, you know, with Gilbert had the concussion, so hopefully he's able to get back. But I love what they're doing right now, and the sky's the limit if they can get their act together consistently every week.
Well, and you hit the nail right there, Matt. It's consistency. You know, it's hard to take things away because they happen. But let's just you know, take that 3-minute surge away, and you really don't have a whole lot from the offense. I mean, you've got the pass to Bryant because that was previous to the craziness that followed. You know, so the team really puts up 10, 13, maybe 16 points. So it was an improvement over the last 2 weeks. Don't get me wrong. But I still think this team has not reached its peak offensively yet. I think when that comes, they can be unbelievably scary. And at the same time, you mentioned briefly Gilbert. Now, Mike Tomlin did say today in his presser, he expects Gilbert to be fine. This was a mild concussion, and I guess concussion's a concussion, whether it's mild or severe, it doesn't matter. But he thinks Gilbert should be okay. He had already passed the protocols, I guess, earlier in the day from last night. But and I can't believe I'm going here, other than one play I can really remember, Mike Adams was not too bad last night.
No, he really wasn't. And I tell you, DeCastro was getting owned, in the first half. He was just getting turned around and twisted. He didn't know which end was up or down. So, it was nice to see the offensive line kind of get themselves under control, even with Adams in there in the second half. And really, we didn't really hear much of J.J. Watt the rest of the night after halftime. So, he wasn't obviously the playmaker that he was in the first half. So that was nice to see. But you're right. There's no way that this offense has peaked yet. And you're right. If we don't have that 3-minute flurry of points there, we're not winning this game. And that's kind of the long and short of it at this point. So, you're right. Consistency is key. But as far as the running game goes, they have a good thing going here, but they've got to figure out a way to put it all together in a unique, or excuse me, in a consistent package every week. Let's pause here for a minute for our sponsor, Body Tech Gym.
You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access, and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you.
And we're back here talking Steelers football. So, dude, the Antonio Brown touchdown pass,
Lance Moore.
I'm thinking number 16. Wait, who is it? All right. Anyway.
You thought Charlie Batch came back as a receiver.
I was thinking Charlie Batch right now. Oh, my God, that's scary. So, anyways, yes, did you see that Tomlin took credit for that play today?
I did, and I think there's a couple positives to be taken from that, and perhaps a negative or two. First of all, if you take your black and gold hat off for a second and you just look at this as a football fan, I don't know how crazy I am about the play, to be real honest with you. I mean, you've got the ball at the 5-yard line. It's first and goal. Is that really your best play, or is that just an offensive coordinator saying, hell, I haven't been able to do anything else, so let's reach into the bag of tricks? Now, look, it worked. It was beautiful. It was the one time that I mentioned earlier about Mike Adams. He got totally beaten by J.J. Watt, and Watt nearly chased down Brown before he could make the touchdown pass. But, as far as Tomlin calling that, let's not forget that last week when they were in the red zone, Tomlin took the brunt of that, saying, look, I'm the one that called for all these runs. We got to run the ball in there. Why do you go get an offensive coordinator with the pedigree that Todd Haley, has, if you're not going to trust him to call the plays down there? If you're telling him what to do, then there's a problem there. Unless it's to take the play call or the audible out of Ben's hands, I'm not sure, but somewhere there's a bit of dysfunction to me, and I'm not saying that Tomlin can't do it, because he is the head coach. He should be able to make a call whenever he wants to. That's what he gets paid for. But it's 2-3 weeks in a row now where he's kind of dictated what has gone on during that time. So he looks like a genius today, Matt, but last week it wasn't that way.
No, and you're right. I think he's feeling the pressure, and the Steelers' red zone problems go well past this year. I mean, this is years, an issue that's been years and going on here. And I think maybe it almost seems like he's grabbing at straws. One week we're running the whole time. Next week we're passing all the time. Then we're mixing and running pass, and we still can't score. So then we figure, well, what the hell? Let's try a trick play. And, wonder of all wonders, it actually works. But you're right. I mean, as that play was getting, was executing and unfolding in front of us, I thought, oh, my God, what the hell are we doing? The last thing when you're in, goal-to-go situations, the last thing you want to do is run some long, drawn-out – you know, play that takes several seconds to execute, because by then, you know, the pass rush is already in your backfield. So you're right. I mean, Watt was bearing down on Brown, so he was able to get it out, you know, throw it to Moore, and of course they scored. But I mean, it was close to disaster. And if that play ends up in, you know, a turnover or, you know, some other, you know, bad way, then, you know, we're sitting here, you know, griping about Tomlin and saying, oh my God, why'd he do that? This team sucks. Can't get out of our own way again. So it was just like, it was, I guess it was just the perfect storm of everything working for the Steelers for those 3 minutes that just really, you know, kind of put everything together. But you're right. I think Tomlin is actually just feeling the pressure of trying to score in the red zone right now.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a big part of it. And I, you know, if I'm going to rip on it a little bit, I want to give some praise too, because I thought the formation, the motion, and the play design that Le'Veon Bell scored on his pass from Ben was brilliant. I mean, you could see the frustration on the DBs for Houston's faces by their reaction, because they did not know who to be on. They didn't know where to go. And when Bell motioned out of the backfield, there was total confusion. Ben threw the laser, and it was a great catch by Bell. So that was a great-looking tight play in that situation. And those are the types of red zone plays that we need to see more often from this team. And like you said, hopefully we can just build on this now.
Yeah, well, you know, we know what the key to victory is for the rest of the season right now. I mean, as long as we go into every game and sometime in the first half, Lawrence Timmons barfs, we're good. You know, I mean, the Steelers are 1-0 when he throws up on the field. So, I mean, somehow we need to make sure that he has another Willie Beeman any given Sunday moment and barf on the field, and then we're going to win.
Well, I got to tell you, I was so impressed by Timmons last night. I wrote a quick piece on him today about how constant he is for this defense now in his eighth year. He's only missed two games, and I was fortunate enough, Matt, to find a GIF or GIF or whatever the hell you call it of him puking as he came off the scene from national TV. I mean, he just looks like he's spewing straight water. I mean.
Dude, my timeline was filled with that GIF for like the entire game. Everybody kept retweeting it. I mean, I think right now today, Lawrence Timmons has the most famous barf of any NFL player ever.
Oh,
I mean, it was just all over Twitter.
I can only imagine the ribbing he must be taking today and this week from his teammates, because I mean, the first shot was when he was in formation at linebacker. And he's kind of got his hands down in front of his knees, and you just see the water come pouring from his face mask. And then it cuts to when he's coming off the field, and by God, he was back in the game, I think, a play or two later. So, yeah, he's definitely my stud of the week on that defense.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he is absolutely the most consistently good player that they have on that defense. I mean, he really is. The guy can do it all. You know, he's in the prime of his career right now, so the Steelers are lucky to have him to give some semblance of, you know, continuity to that front seven. So yeah, I think overall, I mean, it was something to build on for this team now, but now they've got another home game coming up, and they've got Indy right now coming in, the Colts with Andrew Luck. This is a team, obviously, that can score, you know, pretty much at will. If the Steelers play through the first half, you know, like they did next week, you know, or yeah, excuse me, like this past week for next week, the Colts will be up 24-0 by like the end of the first quarter. So it's going to be imperative for the defense to, you know, get off the field, create some turnovers, and for the offense to take advantage of every scenario they can, because the Colts can score quickly and often.
Yeah, and this will be a national TV game. It's got the 4:25 start. Be the second game of the CBS doubleheader, I believe, that day. So 2 weeks in a row on national TV for the Steelers, and you're right, Matt. I mean, if they can't get to Andrew Luck quickly, it's going to be ugly, because you know Houston has some very nice receivers. I like Andrew Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins is good. I think that's where it stops, though. Now you're talking about a Colts team that has very solid receivers. 1, 2, 3. They've got good tight ends that catch the ball. It's going to be a challenge for Dick LeBeau's defense to put the clamps on this offense. And on the other side of the ball, you know, Todd Haley and company, they have to continue to find balance. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell's your bell cow. He's the guy that's going to be doing it for you. But let's hope that Martavis Bryant settles in a little bit and continues to stretch that defense.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I mean, the Colts, you know, I would foresee this game. I could see this game being, you know, kind of a high scoring affair here too, because I just really can. I think the Steelers obviously have weapons they can score with. We know the Colts do. The Steelers defense, save for, Monday night has struggled this year. Especially in the secondary right now where, you know, they're starting some young players and whatnot. So I expect, Andrew Luck to go right after McCain, you know, this week if he starts again, so there's a lot of things that the Colts can exploit for the Steelers. So you're right, LeBeau's going to have to be on his game. This team's going to have to get a pass rush. Last night for the most part, you know, there was no pass rush, especially in the first half. There was just none. And, I actually kind of thought it was funny because, John Gruden kept talking about, oh, the Steelers, they have to find a pass rush somehow. I'm like, dude, we haven't had a pass rush in 5 years. Where have you been? Like, we really haven't, you know. And we just a guy like Luck, you know, just like you would play Peyton Manning, if you don't get in his face, he will just pick you apart.
Yeah, and he's got good mobility, and even their running game has picked up a wee bit. I wouldn't say it's picked up a lot, but it has. It's picked up a little bit. Richardson's actually running the ball kind of hard, which is new for him. It's going to be a tough challenge here, and this is the middle of these three home games. They got the one win now. Of course, they have Baltimore in prime time on Sunday night the following week. If we're going to lose one of these three games, I guess this is the one you'd want to lose just simply because you want to beat Baltimore and even it up with them in the division. But obviously I'm greedy. I want to win all three. I know you do, and I know the Steelers do, but, if they can come out of this 2-3, then they've got the Jets, the Titans, and the Saints, with a bye thrown in there, and none of those three teams put a whole lot of fear into me right now. So you come out of this thing, you know, a game over 500, and we're suddenly talking about a potential playoff shot here for a team that doesn't look all that good at times.
Yeah, you're right. I think right now, as far as the AFC North goes, I think the playoffs are wide open. I mean, literally any four of the teams right now could still win the division and or be a wild card. So, I think everything is wide open for the Steelers right now, but it would sure be nice to, you know, have some momentum going into that Baltimore game where, you know, they'll be, you know, obviously leading the division at that point. That's going to be a big showdown, but you're right. First things first is they're going to have to take care of the Colts at Heinz Field. And you know what they always say, you know, win your home games and split the away ones. Yeah. And that, you know, normally gets you into the playoffs. So the Steelers have a chance here to, you know, actually put a couple of wins together, which is something they haven't done this year. This whole win one, lose one thing's got to stop, because otherwise you end up 8-8 again. So, you know, now's the time to put back-to-back wins together and get some momentum. But I think with that, we will start to wrap this up here. I did want to comment on one other thing, though, just real quick. Give me your pick for this week. Did the Steelers win or lose? And how important really was this win for this team? I mean, does this really – I'm going to tell you, I think their confidence has been shaken regardless of what they say up until last night.
Well, I think they got a huge boost last night. I think they proved that, you know, they're not dead in the water. I think, and Antonio Brown admitted as much after the game, that they heard what Bill Cowher said. They heard what Hines Ward said about them being soft. And, you know, whether you appreciate Cowher and Ward saying it, they're not exactly wrong. I mean, the defense isn't as the force that it once was. And the offense, you know, that's the one I don't buy into as much, because – you know, so what if we don't run the ball 45 times a game? I mean, if we can score points and do the things we need to do to win, then I don't care how you do it. But it's obvious they were paying attention. I think they got to have a little bit more confidence now, but that confidence can be quickly shaken. Indianapolis right now is one of the top teams in the AFC. You probably put them up there with Denver, maybe San Diego, the way they're playing, and certainly New England, the way they've played recently. you know, so this is a top 3-4 team in the AFC, and if you can beat them, now sky's the limit. You don't, you're obviously going to have had played, you would have had to have played well to beat them, I should say. So who knows? But I think it's possible. I just don't like the matchups of what I'm seeing right now with these Colts.
Yeah, this matchup scares me too. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, they're going to have confidence after this win. Yeah. That's just a given. But, you know, I mean, and confidence is a big thing, especially for a team that's trying to find its identity. So I get it. But confidence isn't the only thing. I mean, these guys are going to have to execute. You know, Indy, you're right, is one of the best teams in the league right now, let alone the AFC. So I fully expect this to be a battle. I'm not convinced we're going to win it. But, you know, I hope that we can. But I like the fact that we're coming into this game with a win under our belt, and you know the fact that we, you know, scored a bunch of points, and then we were able to hold off a late rally. So I'm hoping we can get through this with a win, because that game in Baltimore is going to be looming large, and it's going to come quick. So
yeah.
But you know, overall, I guess I can say I like where they're headed right now, but that could quickly change within a week's time. So I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed and not count on anything, because as soon as you start to figure out this team, they just completely blow you out of the water and go in the opposite direction, man.
Well, you know, it is. I mean, like we said, let's think about this for 1 second here. If Houston gets that onside kick last night and punches it in and we're tied and maybe we lose, maybe we even win in overtime, I mean, we're having a completely different conversation today. Now, again, it's another one of these ifs and buts, candy and nuts conversations. But that game was a lot closer than I think a lot of us are really willing to admit, right down to the end there. So, yeah, things are going better. I thought the defense adjusted better, especially in the second half. I thought the offense adjusted well, especially with J.J. Watt. But now you're taking on a more balanced team, a much better quarterback, much better skill guys, and let's just hope we're there in the end. I think that's all you can ask.
Yeah, you know what, you're exactly right. And I think this game was a lot closer than what people wanted to admit, because everything, you know, everybody seems to remember that three-minute flurry at the end of the first half. But, you know, you're right. I mean, things could have easily been different. This could have been overtime. We could have lost. So, you know, thankfully that didn't happen. We're talking about a win. We're heading into a big game next week in prime time. So let's see what happens with it. And, you know, hope that we're having this conversation next week on the show about another Steelers win. So with that, let's wrap it up. Thank you to our sponsor, Body Check Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh, and thanks everyone for listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the contact us option on the right side of the homepage. Steelcityblitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.